Remind us about the last 3 or 4 weeks. We're looking at the idea of the key verse here in chapter 1. What's our key verse in chapter number 1? Anybody remember? Key verse. Verse number 5. He says, "For this cause left of thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city that are appointed thee." If a church is not set in order, then the church is out of order. We've got to have order in the church. We've got to have that. So remember, in chapter number 1, he's ordaining elders, so there's order within the church. And then in chapter 2, when he deals with the aged men, the aged women, the young ladies, the young men and servants, he's dealing with order among the church family. And then in chapter 3, when he talks about having them being subject to principalities, to powers, to perform good works outside the church, he's talking about having order outside of the four walls of the church. Now, we've already read some of these other verses. Let's go back in verse 5. We read that, and we'll read verse 5 down to 16, and then pick up with verse number 10 here, as we did, as we talked about this from last week. He said, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I'd appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate." Now, we mentioned here the last couple of weeks we've been looking at the qualifications that are set up here for the man of God, and we've looked at some of these, verse 6 and verse number 7. We said last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago, that they can be broken down into three: the honor qualifications, the character qualifications, we call them, the home qualifications, and how to handle the truth. And just a little something, I know some of y'all weren't here when we went over this a couple of weeks ago, but if you look down here in verse number 7, for a bishop must be blameless, as the steward of God, not self-willed. He doesn't kind of, you know, he's not a bull in a china shop. He's not pushing things through to get his own way. Not soon angry. If there's anything that a preacher does not need to do, he doesn't need to fly off the handle. Amen. It can be easy to do whenever we see things happen that we don't like, but that's a qualification. We've got to have our tempers under control. It says, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. Now, a lot of folks look at that not given to wine and they'll say, well, it's okay to have a little bit to drink. Just don't be given to it. If we use that same mentality, that's just an idiom, just a saying. If I say it's raining cats and dogs outside, you're not going outside to round you up a nice German Shepherd pup and take it back to the house with you. That's just the way we say things. Now, if you look at the passage here where it says not given to wine, well, preacher, that means a little wine's okay. We can drink a little wine, just don't be given to it. Well, let's just go ahead and apply that same mindset to the last phrase, not given to filthy lucre. A little filthy lucre is okay. A little dishonesty is fine. Let's just not be given to it. Now, nobody's going to come right out and say it's okay to have a little bit of dishonesty. And so, not only should you not be given to filthy lucre, you're not a dishonest man. Not only should you leave the alcohol alone, amen, amen. Not only should you leave the alcohol alone, just need to be a person who has a reputation that's not who you are. Now, lover of hospitality. That means that you take care of the missionaries when they come through. We do those type things. And hopefully, getting this house, we'll be able to do the same type thing. We definitely can be given the hospitality. Amen. Get them a place they can get on the other side of the house. We don't have to talk. No, I'm just kidding. Don't have to talk to them. All right. Amen. Now, he's got to be a lover of good men. Good man, he's got to be sober, just, holy, and temperate. Now, last week, we started mentioning this. One of the qualifications that we don't typically, we haven't seen maybe over in Timothy, is the ability to handle the truth. There are some good men out there who have, maybe they've got their homes in order, They're even tempered, even keeled. They don't fly off the handle. They don't get angry. They're not self-willed. They're not looking for a fight. But if you were to ask them, where's John 3:16 in the Bible, they would have trouble finding the Gospel of John. And I'm not meaning that ugly. I'm just simply saying that's just kind of the way in a lot of country churches I've been in. There have been a lot of folks that are good people. But as far as being thoroughly familiar with their Bibles as much as maybe they are with, say, their toolbox. I know some fellas, they're great, you know, carpenters, plumbers, mechanics, you know, trim carpenters, those type of things. But when it comes to the Bible and knowing the Bible, they don't spend as much time in the Bible as they should, and therefore they're not as familiar with it. Now, notice it says in verse number 9, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught. So he's got to be somebody who is teachable. He's got to be teachable. And he's got to be able to take what he has been taught and to put it to work. Now, he's got to hold the faithful word as he hath been taught. So he's got to be teachable. He's got to hold the truth. And he's got to be able to use sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, I think I might have mentioned this last week, and I'll mention it again. This is how Paul said that you were to deal with people who held different doctrine. Now, if we were back 600 years ago, how do you deal with people who hold different doctrine? Well, you take them, you burn them at the stake. That's not what Paul said to do here. We're not Roman Catholics in that we persecute other people who disagree with us, but we are to take sound doctrine to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Now, specifically, look in verse number 10. What was the problem that he was dealing with? Every local church has problems. Every local church does. Well, preacher, I'm looking for a church that doesn't have problems. Well, don't join it, because as soon as you join it, brother, they got a problem. That's right. Some of y'all remember Brother Larry Raines, who was up here. He pastored for 36, 37 years down in Taylor, South Carolina before he went to evangelism. Lord called him into that. And he had a gentleman come to his church one time, enjoyed the church services, and said, preacher, I'm here. I will stand here with you until there's a problem. And as soon as there's a problem, he said, I'm heading out the door. And Brother Rain said, well, you might as well go ahead and leave now, because we're fighting the devil, and anytime you fight the devil, there's going to be a problem. We're in a fight against Satan. And so there are always problems in every church. And what you're going to see here, there was a particular problem in the church. Look at verse number 10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Notice this, especially they of the circumcision. So we've got two problems here. We've got false prophets who are coming in to the church, trying to sway church people away from sound doctrine. Now he said this, especially they have the circumcision. So we've got Jewish false prophets coming in. And if you look down at verse 15, he says, unto the pure all things are pure. That harkens back to the Jewish purification laws. Remember, we preached out of Mark chapter 7 here a while back, where when they come back from the market, they had to wash their hands a certain way. Remember, they would put the water on their hands. They'd have to let it drip down here. And then they would pour the water on the hands. They'd have to let the water drip down. They'd have to let it dry a certain way. And some zealous Jews would do that between every course of every meal that they would eat, just to show their cleanliness. Because a lot of the Jews, in fact, one of the Jewish rabbis taught that those people who spoke the pure language, who ate clean food, which is implied you wash your hands, and they said the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, they said that every day, that they would not be denied entrance into heaven. I mean, it was a work of salvation. So when Jesus came along and taught that washing your hands was not important for salvation, I mean, brother, I mean, the Pharisees vapor locked. I mean, they stopped what they were doing. I mean, it really got under their crawl. So this passage here kind of harkens back to that. Under the pure, if you're righteous, all things are pure, including your food. Now, I'll come down to verse 15 in a minute, but a lot of people say, well, under the pure, all things are pure, so if I watch a dirty movie, read a nasty magazine, all that's pure. Well, I mean, I don't even know that I even need to dignify that one with a response, because I've heard some people say that. I mean, honestly, there are some people who say, well, under the pure, all things are pure, therefore I'm going out to Colorado to medicate myself. Well, don't be a member of the church here and go to Colorado to medicate yourself, because we're not going to let you back in. I mean, somebody said, well, that's why they call it the Mile High City. Yeah, and I'm sure it is now out there in Denver with all their dope smoking and everything else that goes on out there. It's amazing, yes, since they legalized all that stuff. But having said that, you've got two groups of people. You've got the circumcision, and you also have folks who are vain talkers and deceivers. You've got pagans who try to come in and try to sway people unto themselves. Remember, Paul said this in Acts chapter number 20. He said, "For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." So folks are going to come from outside the church to come in and disrupt. And then he said this, "And of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." So we've got to watch in our church here, we've got to watch that folks don't come from the outside to teach us new doctrine. Somebody came by here a while back, it's been several months back, and invited me to have a meal, and I looked over some of the material that they had left. And basically, the person, nice guy, wonderful person seemed like, but he leaned a little bit toward hyperdispensationalism. In other words, the Lord's Supper is not for our age, baptism is not for our age, there are only a handful of books that apply to us that came about after the church was revealed to the Apostle Paul. So there are a lot of things we don't have to fool with. The Gospels are not for us today. All of those type of things. I wish somebody would have explained that to Mark, because Mark wrote his Gospel to the Romans. So he wasted his time writing to Gentiles when really it should have just been the Apostle Paul to write to the Gentiles. They completely take things and misalign those. And people who hold those type doctrines, we're not going to allow them to come in and to teach and to bring confusion into the church. We're going to take people who understand the Bible. We rightly divide the word of truth, but we've got to have people who believe, according to Titus chapter 1, verse number 9, sound doctrine. Because the opposite is unsound doctrine. Okay? Now, so here's the problem. We got folks coming in, and they begin to speak. So notice this. Look at verse 10. "There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers," verse 11, "whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things they ought not." The problem was what's coming out of their mouth. It's not what they were doing, it's what they were teaching. It's what they were saying. That's the problem. Now, how do we stop mouths? We stop mouths from saying the wrong things by having the right reply, by having sound doctrine. We don't take them outside and put our dukes up and knock their blocks off, although that's what we want to do. We don't stop them with pieces of lead going 1,200 feet per second, although that's what we want to do. We stop those folks' false doctrine by combating that with sound doctrine. And that's what Paul is telling Titus here. Now I want you to look, and let's take a look down here a little further. So the problem is we've got some folks here who are using their teaching, their false talking, vain talking. They're subverting whole houses. Now what that word subvert implies, it means here that they are going in a shady manner to undermine the foundation that has already been laid. Paul comes in, he preaches the gospel of grace. Remember we said Pierce Paul, normally his practice was to ordain elders in every city before he leaves. He did that in Acts chapter 14. He tries to do that. But here, Paul left Titus in Crete to ordain elders in every city and to bring an order. Probably this letter being written 64, 65-ish, was probably not too long before the Apostle Paul died. So he's got a track he's running on. He's trying to establish as many churches as possible before his time comes. So what's Paul doing here? He is trying to get these folks to come into leadership who can combat the false doctrine. He's laid a foundation, but some people come in and subvert that. Now, some people subvert their sound doctrine whenever their television is turned on. There are a lot of folks, I study with so-and-so. I'm very leery when I hear about people say, "Well, I study my Bible at home with so-and-so." Now, there's a guy down in Arkansas named Arnold Murray. He's not a Bible preacher. Got that Shepherd's Chapel down there. He was on satellite dish 25 years ago. I remember seeing him as, you know, we'd flip through the channels on the satellite dish, going from Galaxy 1 to Daystar 7 or whatever else, you know, the Black Death Star, whatever it was out there. Yeah. And he taught all kinds of crazy things, like the devil's, you know, out of the way right now. The devil's not in operation right now. When the Lord said, "Get thee behind me, Satan," the devil's out of the way. He's gone. There is no rapture, even though we find in 1 Thessalonians 4, let's say, well, the word rapture's not in the Bible. Well, the Greek word harpazo's there. It means a catching up away. I mean, it's there. It's all there. A lot of just people just teach around that. And what happens a lot of times, people go home and they'll turn the television on, and that teaching that you've heard here in this church, the sound teaching is going to be subverted. Now, I can't sit in your living room and tell you, watch him, don't watch him. But there's an anointing, according to 1 John chapter number 2, that says that you need not have that any man teach you. In other words, when somebody comes bringing false doctrine, there's going to be a catch in your spirit and tell you that this something ain't right. Something's not right. When those Jehovah's Witnesses, those false witnesses, come up and knock on your door, don't let them in. Don't invite them in your house. Don't bid them Godspeed because you're a partaker of their evil deeds. Don't say, God bless you, have a nice day. I mean, if anything, say, break a leg. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there you go. Yeah, trip on your way out, please. I'm glad some of y'all got a sense of humor. That's right. Now, we don't wish ill on our enemies. We don't want to do that. We don't want to be guilty of rejoicing when our enemies fall. Proverbs tells us not to do that. But one of the things we want to be aware of is that there are false prophets and false teachers out there that we would rejoice whenever they go off the scene, simply because their false doctrine is not going to pervert and subvert other folks. And that's what they're doing here. Be very careful. By the way, let me just say this. I just feel impressed to say this. I'm going to say it. Be very careful when folks try to subvert with their phone ministry. For there are many unruly and vain talkers. Talk, 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 talk. Now, Tennessee, it's talk. T-A-W-K. Talk. We talk down yonder. That's what we do. We talk. And they talk. They talk up here. There's an L in there somewhere. We just changed to a W. Some people ignore the L. You know, we just changed to a W. Amen. But there are a lot of folks, what they do is they pick up the phone and they either spread prayer requests, or they spread gossip, or, I'll say this, or they spread more than that, they try to sow discord. And they do that just to tear down. Those are people whose mouths must be stopped. Now, if the preacher's not there from the pulpit to stop the mouths, you know how those mouths are stopped? Hey, we love our church, we love the people in the church, and we're not going to deal with any of that. You know, if you have something good to talk about, come back and talk about me, but well, I can't talk anymore, click. There was a man who was associated with our home church in Tennessee probably about 15 years ago. He was into some things he ought not to have been. He was just a visitor. I'm not going to say publicly some of the things that he did, but he was pulled aside by some of the men. Some of the deacons went downstairs, the pastor, and he was talked to and just said, you can't do this. These type of things. We're not going to have this in our church. Well, he quit coming there. He got puffed up and left. Well, one of the older men in the church was at Hardee's one morning, and bless his heart, he wasn't the, how can I say it? He just didn't carry himself very well. I'll just leave it at that. But he didn't mind letting you know what side he was on. And so he was down at Hardee's and ran into this fella and then came back and told the pastor. He said, preacher, I'm just going to tell you, Brother Wayne, I'm just going to tell you. I was down there at Hardee's and I saw Brother so-and-so and we talked for a minute. And when he started talking bad about my church and my preacher, he said, that was it. I just got up and left because I wasn't going to listen to badmouth you. I said, it, man, that's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. And so, there are folks here, the false prophets. We'll see here some things. They're unruly. Verse number 10, they're unprincipled. Verse number 11, because they teach things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. So first of all, their message can be bought and can be doctored for money. And I know that there are many churches across the land where sometimes the pastor may feel like he's got not to say certain things because folks will withhold their tithe checks. Can I say thank you that this is not one of those places? You all want the truth, I believe you do, and sometimes I'm going to tell you, there are folks that are in the building that I've had to go talk to personally about some things. They're still We still love each other. We get along just fine. That's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, I want to be your friend. I want to be as close to you as I can. But first and foremost, as your pastor, there are things that I've got to do. And I've got my number one allegiance to make sure that I'm right with God and we do things that are right with the Lord. And so I want to make sure that we're right in those things. So having said that, there are folks out there who will teach things based on the amount of money they will or will and will not get. They'll say certain things for money. They'll withhold certain things if they think it will hurt a paycheck. Well, that's the kind of men they were. Now, look at verse number 15. They're unbelieving. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving. These folks are unruly, they're unprincipled, they're unbelieving, they don't believe the truth. And if we look down here in verse number 16, they profess that they know God. We know Him, but in works they deny Him. Being abominable, disobedient, unto every good work reprobate. They're unruly, unprincipled, unbelieving, and they're unsaved. That's who these false prophets are. That's who they are. Now, there's kind of a change here. If you look in verse number 12, Paul kind of makes a shift here from the false prophets to the people sitting in the pew, and I'll show you how we know that. He says this, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. Paul favorably quotes a Greek poet by the name of Epimenides. He lived around the 6th century before Christ. So that just shows you Paul was pretty well familiar with a lot of the Greek authors out there, the pagan authors. He knew some of those guys, and he was not afraid to refer to them or refer to him in a manner whenever it backed up his case. So that's why there's not a thing wrong with me pointing to a scientific fact to show you that it, you know, evolution's an impossibility. You know, I mean, I used to tell people that, you know, that the biology books would always say that DNA, the stuff that makes you up, will not form in water. And if the earth was covered with water, the last place on the universe where life's going to come is going to be in water. So you point out some scientific facts to folks. There's a whole lot more to it. I'm not going into that. But if you point out those facts, there's not a thing wrong with pointing those things out because Paul favorably quotes a pagan who supported his case. Now, Paul calls him a prophet, which is unbelievable. That's the one writer I read after said it's probably the only place where a non-Hebrew is referred to as a prophet. And notice what Paul says. Verse 13, this witness is true. I mean, hey, a broken clock's right twice a day and the pagans can get some things right. Amen. That's right. And he says, wherefore, notice this, he says, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Now, how do we know that these are people that Paul's not saying rebuke the false prophets, but rebuke those folks who are listening to the false prophets? Look carefully in verse number 13. This witness is true. Rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, there may be a false prophet in there who's kind of teetering back and forth, who could be brought in. But if he's given unsound doctrine, he is of the circumcision, he's a vain talker and a deceiver, he's not sound in the faith. The people who you've got to be concerned about being sound in the faith are not unsaved people, but saved people who are giving these false prophets an audience by listening to them. That's the problem that we're dealing with here. Notice this. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables. Verse number 14. You see, these folks, verse 10, of the circumcision, who are subverting whole houses, teaching things they ought not for filthy lucre's sake, they're going back to the Jewish genealogies, the Jewish mythology that was associated with the Old Testament, but was not part of the Old Testament. They were concerned about making sure that their people were circumcised, that you keep the law, and they also had all these other type of strange Jewish beliefs that they kind of tossed in, that if you want to be orthodox and right, you believe some of these things. That's what Paul's telling them not to give heed to. And notice the commandments that turn from the truth. False prophets are not preaching truth, they're preaching error. You understand what I'm saying? You see that? Does that make sense? Now notice how Paul says this. Look at verse 13. Wherefore, notice this, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Now, their mouths have got to be stopped, and they're going to be stopped by sound doctrine and exhortation and convincing, verse number 9. And those in the church who give them an audience must be made sound in the faith. Now here's the thing. What does Paul say to the folks, or to Titus to do, to folks who are given false doctrine an audience? What does he do? He doesn't say, come along and tell them that it probably would be a good idea if he just stopped listening to that person. Based on their personality, based on them being lazy, gluttons, evil beasts, slow bellies, liars, all that type thing, based on their personality, what did Paul say? He said, rebuke them. And if there's one thing that many folks in the churches do not like, is to be rebuked. In all honesty, I've sat more time on that side of the pulpit than I've been on this side of the pulpit. in the church. Rebuke is not something that everybody likes. And every Christian brings his shovel to church. They all do. Because when the preacher shovels it and tosses it in their lap, they just pick it up and toss it to the guy behind them. That's not for me. That's somebody else's. I feel sorry for some of you folks on the back row because you get everybody's load back there in the back. That's bad. And if you toss it back in the sound room back there, Lord have mercy. What are we going to do? I mean, they're done. Stick a fork in them. That's right, they're done. Nobody likes to be rebuked. Well, preacher, rebuke doesn't happen now. It doesn't work nowadays. You know what works nowadays, don't you? I don't have on a coat and a tie. I've got a shirt right here. I go to the store. I'm an idiot. I pay $35 for a pair of jeans that already have holes in them. I sit here on a stool. I sit behind this little glass desk thing. And I just rap with you for a little while and talk with you about how to make Jesus, just how to make everything nice and cool. And invite Jesus into your life. It's like I heard one fellow say here a while back. The Bible doesn't mention anything about inviting Jesus into your life. Jesus is in the devil's life. Jesus is in everybody's life, whether you like it or not. No, the Bible commands all men everywhere to repent. We'll see here a little later, we're going to see a Gentile woman in Mark chapter number 7. That woman is a wonderful picture of Gentile salvation because she acknowledges her sinfulness and the lordship of Jesus. And the Lord says, woman, your face pretty good. It's great. I mean, it's a beautiful picture of Gentile salvation. Unbelievable what you see. And so, having said that, that word rebuke here, it means to chide. The word chide, and it's also further defined as to scold, to reprove, to utter words in anger, or by way of disapprobation. In other words, you're not happy with them. The word rebuke means to reprove, you call your hand on somebody for a fault, you check them with a reproof. Now it's interesting, the only time you see the word rebuke used as a verb, as a command, is only seen in Timothy and Titus. That's the only time you see it. And so, because our society is a rebellious society, we don't seem to have a lot of this idea for a rebuke. But can I tell you, the Bible says that folks who follow false doctrine are to be rebuked, that they may be what? Sound in the faith. Now that doesn't happen every Sunday. We don't shear sheep every Sunday. Sometimes the wool got to grow back. You don't do it every Sunday. You got to feed the sheep. You got to water the sheep. You got to love the sheep. You got to pour the oil. You know, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. You do that on a regular basis. But there are times where you've got to have the rod and the staff that are brought in, not only to comfort, but also to correct. So that's got to happen there. So one thing I want us to notice is that he talks about rebuking these folks that they'd be sound in the faith. Now, what we're going to do next week is we're going to come back and we'll finish up the last couple of verses here in Titus. And then we're going to move on to the role of the men and the women in the church. And as we go through the roles of men and women in the church, Titus chapter number 2, I just want to say this, that I would like for every one of us in here, or every one of y'all, who's over, 50, 55, think a little bit about what your role is in the church. Are you meeting the standards set up in Titus 2 to be qualified to be able to give somebody advice and tell them how to live godly? That's just like one preacher one time said. He said, it's amazing. You'll find these little old ladies who've never had any children at all. They'll tell you how to raise your kids. Well, I mean, I'd like to have a little bit of experience because it goes a whole long way. I'll tell you, if I had a child, well, don't say a word about it until you have one. Don't say a word of it until you had one. It's like somebody was saying to me, don't say, I know what it's like. I know you've lost a child, but I don't know what it's like. It's like, no, of course you don't know what it's like. You have no clue what it's like. Don't even say you can't imagine because you can't imagine. Just be back. Yeah, so having said that, if you got somebody who's got some wisdom that they can give, hey, give forth that wisdom. That's right. But let's see where we stand in these areas here to see how we measure up with what the Lord has given to us. So, we'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to stop right here. It is about 2 minutes till we're supposed to start. We'll come back and we will start at 10 minutes till. That way give everybody a chance to kind of get up, stretch a little bit, get a drink of water, use the restroom, and then we'll be brought back in here. So let's go ahead and we'll be dismissed. Brother Brian, would